It's so good to see you, and the sunshine is just here still, right? And that's good, right? That's why we live here, right? That's pretty cool. People, anyone who visits from out of town, they're like, man, I didn't expect to see the sun. And you always tell them, well, it's not like this all the time, right? It's green for a reason, but man, it is so good to see the sunshine. Well, this morning, just excited for our service and what God's doing. But before I come back and bring the word, we're really excited to have some of our missionaries here today, and they're going to share with you. But about 4 to 5 years ago, our church was doing some work in Honduras, and they came across this couple. And, you know, you meet people all the time. And then there's those times where you meet people, and it's like just this divine connection. And you know that you're called to do, you know, work with them. And so this was the type of couple that we met years ago, and their names are Kelvin and Monica. Hopefully you know them by now. They've been here a third or fourth time. And so they're here visiting, and they're just such incredible people of the kingdom who believe in the next generation, and everything that they're doing is designed to reach our sons and our daughters. And they're down in Ecuador. They'll probably share all the details with you if you don't know, but we're honored this morning to have them. They are here just for a short weekend, but we just want you to catch a glimpse of their heart and just get to know them a little bit. So would you welcome with me this morning Kelvin and Monica Johnson as they come to share.
Look at that. Okay, yeah, we're going to share. How's everyone doing today? It's great to be here. And thank you for allowing the sun to come out and so we can enjoy the sun. So it's amazing. And thank you, Pastor Justin, just definitely introducing us. And I don't think I have much more to say after that. So, but it's great to be here. It's great to see some familiar faces, and then those that are not familiar. Just kind of, it's good to see everyone here and to be here. So, I'm gonna introduce our family. Unfortunately, our two beautiful kids are not here with us. Just traveling is sometimes a little bit better, and they've traveled a lot, so just better with just the two of us. So I apologize for that, beautiful kids. But my wife, Monica, and I have a daughter, 7-year-old daughter, Kelly, and a 3-year-old son, Kit. And so they are with abuelo and abuela right now and enjoying it, getting spoiled and staying up late, and everything we would not allow them to do is what's going on right now. So when we get back, I can imagine it's going to be, no, close the door, lock it. So anyway, excited to be here. Excited to talk about what we have been doing. We'll talk a little bit about where we're at for some of you that may have kind of heard about us or maybe not knowing where we've gone through and what we're doing right now in Ecuador. And then you can go ahead and put up, I'm actually going to play some pictures. They're just going to kind of rotate through so you guys are more focused on the pictures and less on me talking. So we'll kind of, but we've been missionaries for 7 years. Like was mentioned earlier, we went to Honduras. And we learned and mentored underneath Sarah and Jason for Give Hope to Kids. Some of you guys may have heard that name also. And we just learned a lot from them. Knew that that was the first step in missions for us. We were there for 3 years and then transitioned. We met many of your elders here at this point in time when we were about to transition. And we really just talked to them, got to know them, and really just got excited about the church just going with us on our journey to Ecuador. Yeah, go ahead.
Pastor Justin said, it was kind of this divine relationship that started there, and it was really crazy but really cool. We had never been up here, and so we came and we're like, hey, we're going to Ecuador, and this is what we think we're going to do. And then we came the following year, and we're like, yes, this is what we're going to do, and we didn't come last year. But we started a student home over there, and you see a few pictures of girls. These are the girls that live at the student home on campus, and that's a program we direct there. So Kelvin will explain more about the student home, but it's more like an update of what we've been up to because we weren't here after we started the program. And so far we've been 2 years hosting and housing and loving these girls and discipling these girls' lives. So, you can.
Okay. So we are in the Amazon jungle in Ecuador, South America. And so it's jungle. So many of you have watched the movie, probably End of the Spear, maybe. We are just a little plane ride from there. So there's no roads that go there, so you have to get in a little tiny plane and jump over a little bit of the jungle to get to where all that happened in place, where all that happened, basically. So we are not too far from there, and where the school is at. We came and joined the school, a school that was established about 6 years ago. With that, we learned underneath the founders of the school and took what we had learned in Honduras in an orphanage setting and developed a student home. This student home is to bring girls from further in the jungle that have no resources, no education, very minimal chances of being successful and getting value in their life, to be able to come and get an education in a God-centered family lifestyle in a home that be able to go to school and bring value into their lives. So, yeah, go ahead.
So the school that we serve with is right now grades 1 to 10th, kindergarten to 10th. And there's 140 students right now. But we host 7 girls, and they live at the student home. So just kind of a side note, our program is in conjunction with the school. Okay.
So with that, these 7 girls come throughout the week. They stay in the home setting. We are a family example for them. We are not their replacement parents. We are an example for them to be able to grow, because they grow up in a different family lifestyle. And I like to explain that because we learned a little bit this last year, and I'll explain a little bit of what we've gone through ourselves in learning. But these girls come there throughout the week, they go back on the weekend. Also on vacations, they go back to their communities. These last couple of years, we personally had learned a lot. One of the biggest things we learned is, what does a family setting look like? What are these girls used to in a family setting? Why would these girls come to a home separate from their family and everything be okay as far as that separation from their family and staying in a totally different area and living in a totally different area to get an education? Why is that? Why was there no homesickness or I need my mom or any of that was going on? We found out, as we were spending more time with communication with their parents in the community, spending more time in the community, that a lot of that was our mentality of a family setting is completely different than their mentality of a family setting. This was really difficult for us to learn because we've grown up very individualistic. As a kid, you're told, whatever you want to do, child, you can do, you can accomplish. That mentality is a very privileged mentality. We get that. We tell our kids that. They do not tell their kids that in the indigenous community. The kids are not raised by a mom, dad. They are raised by the entire community. Everybody raises the kids. So that was really important for us to understand, because we were looking for that meltdown, that break, and why are they being abused in the house? What's going on? Why is this so easy? And it's not that it was easy. It's just their mentality was, we are now raising their kids with the community. The benefit for them is the educational side. The benefit for us is we are discipling in these kids, also giving them a different style of a family setting. And so that's these last couple of years of us learning along with these girls and working with their parents overall in a community to raise these kids. We would never be where we're at today if it wasn't for a pastor that has been a missionary there, an Ecuadorian pastor that's been a missionary there, established a church about 7 years ago. He's the reason we're able to get into a community, very closed-minded. So these are the 7 girls that go to the student home this next year. We will not add any more. We've always felt that it's more important for us to do quality versus quantity. We will not add any girls because we've had some issues with a couple of them, discipline. So we are going to work on that a little bit this next year. We will not add any more. We're focused on making sure these girls are going to be the leaders in the classrooms. So next year, it'll be the same girls. We have, by child services in Ecuador, we can do up to 12 kids in the home. We started with girls first because they are valued less in a home setting in the indigenous community. Hopefully someday we'll be able to do boys too. That all depends on resources and everything else, and volunteers and missionaries and all that stuff. So girls are a priority right now because they are valued less in the home.
Yes. So a very big part of the program is to integrate them back into their community, to give them the resources, to give them the belief and the faith, and for them to go back. So the way we achieve that is by sending them back every weekend, and that's hard, and that's a sacrifice for them and for their parents. But the parents are being part of this, which is already giving them value at 7 and 8 years old. It's something that parents would have never done before. They would have never considered them, like, I'm going to invest into them by sending them to school.
Especially their daughter.
Yes, especially a daughter. So we see them participating and being part of their education, which is really awesome. And we hope and we pray that these girls will continue being educated, but also continue to grow in the love of Christ so they can take that to their community. We are not going to be the best people to go evangelize in the middle of the jungle, because we are not part of that community, but they are. So we are hoping that they will be the pastors and the wives and the ones that bring change to their communities, and even farther than that, to places that have not been reached yet. But they have gone through all this, so they are able to do more than we can. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's our focus, is in Honduras, we're discipling in their lives. They're the ones that are going to make the difference someday. We being North American, we having this culture, we can bring a lot of benefits, but they're the ones that are going to make the difference. And so that's our main focus going on right now. So if it's okay, if we can go ahead and show that video then, and then we'll go ahead and turn it back.
Student resident home at the Antioch Christian Academy was established in 2016 with the vision of providing a secured, disciplined, family-oriented home to Indigenous girls who are undervalued and unable to attain a good education in their communities. This structured environment ministers to their physical, educational, emotional, and spiritual needs. The girls come from an area of the world that is incredibly unique. There are over 40,000 types of plants, 1,300 bird species, 3,000 fish species, and 2.5 million different insects. There's the Quechua people group, whom have their own authorities and language. Social responsibility and nature respect are values that these communities live by. One of the most important parts of the girls' social and emotional development is to reaffirm their family structure. It's imperative that when they are in their own community, they grow and fit in their own environment. It's difficult not to sympathize for the girls who leave their families every week for this opportunity. Though their sacrifice is not in the separation from their families, but in the journey to and from. Hours of taxi rides, canoes, and hiking stand between the girls and their education. But this venture is deemed necessary for the chance to bring value to knowledge and information back into the community. We yearn that they reconnect with their homes and someday be the ones that bring the gospel farther than we can ever reach. The student home and their education is only a small part of what God has planned for these girls' lives. The impact they have in their families and community is just the beginning. If this journey doesn't stop them, nothing will. Please consider becoming a part of a student's life, a part that will help us see one of these girls make a difference in the Amazon jungle.
pretty cool. Pretty amazing. Thank you guys for sharing and for being here. If you want to talk to Kelvin or Monica afterwards, I encourage you to do so. You know, as a church, we sponsor them monthly, but they are, you know, we'd love for you to connect with them. I know a handful of you have been in Ecuador, visiting their home and being with them. And like Ruth Savage was one who had the privilege to go probably 2 years ago and be a part and to see firsthand what they're doing. And so we just honor you guys. We're so glad you're here. And we just bless the work that God's doing through you and through the ministry of Jungle Kids. So talk to them afterwards. If you just want any other information or questions, they'd love to chat with you. This morning, before I switch gears, I just want to make you aware just of one last announcement. For the last few weeks, Ruth Savage, whose heart is for missions as well, has been in the fireside room doing a quilt raffle for the YES program to send kids to school. And so she's going to do the drawing today. So if you need to get your tickets, you can do so in the fireside room as well today. But again, lots of opportunities to get involved. Here we are as a church. For the last 2 weeks, we've been in a series that we've entitled Sent by a Father. And I find it interesting that here we have all these opportunities to get involved because that's part of our call. Amen? And so I hope that you've been encouraged the last few weeks as we've been talking about being used in God's kingdom. Last week, we talked about sharing your story because I don't know what it is, but anytime we feel like God is telling us he wants to use us, we get nervous. We get scared. We get filled with doubt and fear that says, well, God can't use me because blank. God can't use me because I'm not ready yet. God can't use me because of my past. God can't use me because I'm not qualified. God can't use me because I don't have a certain degree in whatever I should have a degree in. And so we talked last week about God wants you to be his witnesses. And another word for the word witness is God wants you to share your story and how God wants to use the power of your personal testimony to advance his kingdom. Because there's something about hearing someone's story that gives you hope. Right, when you hear that this person was in the same situation as I was, it's something about it just says, if they can do it, well, then so can I. And so I just pray for opportunity, that you would have opportunity to share what God's done in your heart with those that you work with those that are in your neighborhood, because there is power in the word of what the Lord has done in our hearts. And so we're going to continue that theme of Sent by a Father. And so the title of today's message, and I hope you get it, it's Sent by a Father, I got it! And you're going, a few of you got it. And again, maybe it's because this city has had no good reason to get involved in baseball for the last 17 years. Because our sweet little Mariners have been... Yes, Jesus, be with those Mariners. But it's been hard to be a baseball fan in Seattle. And I'm not a fair weather fan, but it has been not fun. And so maybe, you know, it's because the Mariners have a glimmer of hope, and I'm not going to make any predictions. I buy a Mariners hat every year, and I still wear my Mariners hat. But I'm not going to get my hopes up. But we can continue to pray for our Mariners. But I also coach baseball, and I got it are some of the most important words that we try to teach young baseball players. Because I can't tell you how many times, including a tournament that my son is playing in this weekend where those words weren't used, and a 15-1 lead goes down to a 16-22 loss. Because after I got it doesn't get yelled, in 9 runs score with 2 outs, it's hard to win a game. And so this morning, we want to talk about being sent by a father, I got it. And being a baseball coach, one of the famous last words whenever you talk to kids after I got it wasn't said was, why didn't you call it? And he said, well, I thought he was going to call it.
Well, I thought he was going to call it. I thought he was going to get it. Isn't that so true in baseball, but in life? It's how many times, well, why didn't I do that? Well, I thought someone else was going to. Why didn't, you know, I can't tell how many times people would say, man, I had that on my heart. I just figured someone else would do it or someone else was going to go there. And I thought of a quote, or I actually saw a quote this week. It said, if it's everyone's responsibility, then it is no one's responsibility. And I think we've seen that in life. We've seen that with youth sports. But as we're talking about being sent by a father, I think it's so important that we understand the responsibility that we are called to carry in the kingdom. Because again, if we don't understand what God has called us to do, if we don't understand what God has commissioned us to do, then unfortunately, I think the results are going to be, well, I thought someone else was going to do it. And I think that 9 times out of 10, the end result is going to be that the kingdom doesn't advance unless we take responsibility to do what God has called us to do. I've been, as parents, my wife and I are right in the season of teaching our kids the power of personal responsibility. Because I knew as I was growing up as a young man, I knew I liked to make excuses for anything and everything. And parents, you know, the excuses of why didn't you do this? Well, you know, I mean, excuses are long. And but man, as a parent, it's amazing seeing it from a different perspective, isn't it? And teaching our sons to own and have ownership and take responsibility when they're right, but also take responsibility when they mess up. That's one of the things my wife and I are trying to do is even teaching them when they screw up, take responsibility for your mistakes. Own it. Don't just fluff it off on, oh, it was the dog or oh, it was my 2-year-old brother, but take responsibility because as we take responsibility, we're going to live an effective life. Amen? And so in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10, I want you to turn there in your Bibles, but they're talking to the New Testament church. And you've probably heard this before, but I want to read it this morning because I believe that this is what the Lord wants to get into our hearts today. And it says this. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's very own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen? I'm grateful this morning for mercy. I'm grateful this morning that God has called me. I'm grateful this morning that I matter to God and you matter to God. Reading that scripture, my takeaway is you are chosen. You are valuable. You matter. You have a role to play. Okay, and the role is you're a priest and you're a king. You are set apart. You are wanted. You are, I love how another scripture passage says it, says you are drenched in mercy. Okay, that's what the Passion Translation says. It says, you don't just have mercy, but you're drenched in mercy. I mean, you're soaking wet in God's mercy. This morning, we need to understand, and we need to know that we know that we know that you are valuable in the eyes of God. Yeah. That you are so valuable to him, and he sees us through that scripture in 1 Peter, and that we would begin to see ourselves as those things that he says that we are. Because it's one thing for him to say it, but we've got to believe it. We've got to get it in our hearts to where we then have personal responsibility and ownership for the call that God's placed on our life. So today I want to say whatever your profession is, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a construction worker, whether you're a firefighter, whether you're a computer engineer, Whatever your profession is, I want you to know that you matter to the kingdom of God. And because of your relationship that you have with Jesus, that alone gives you value to be effective and to be sent by Father God. Okay? You are worthy of the call this morning. Because I know one of the main tactics of the enemy is to get us believing that we can't do it. I believe that one of the tactics of the enemy is to keep us from knowing our true identity in who Christ says that we are. Okay, the term that we see in 1 Peter is kind of an interesting term, but it says that we're part of a royal priesthood. And I think in order to understand that, we've got to look back at the Old Testament. And again, when I hear that scripture, I am not talking to people who are only in full-time ministry this morning. Okay? I am talking, if you have accepted Jesus into your heart, you are part of what the New Testament calls a royal priest or priestesses. Princess. Does that mean the opposite of a priest? You are part of a royal family. Okay, royal priesthood in the New Testament does not talk to those who work for the church. Okay, it's not talks to those who just take a paycheck or those who have a credential that says I'm a pastor or I'm a bishop or I'm a ministry. Okay, the same God that I serve, the same God that I love is the same God that is alive inside of you. Okay, there is no different levels in God's eyes between laymen and clergy. Can I just say that this morning? Because I look at the history of church in general, and they've tried to make different levels. They've said, well, pastors are more holy, pastors are more set apart. And this morning, my word is, we're equal in the eyes of God. The call of God that is on my life is just as important and just as powerful as the call of God that is on your life. So don't believe the lie that says, well, because I'm not in full-time ministry, God doesn't want to use you, because you are a priest. You are a priest this morning. Royal priesthood speaks to the equality of all believers and our equal right and responsibility to serve God. There's that R word again, responsibility. Okay, that's what in the New Testament, when it talks about being a royal priesthood, it's talking about there's no difference. There's equality. And again, to put ourselves in the shoes of when it was written some 2,000 years ago, we really have to understand the history of a priest. Because again, to you and I, this might not be that big of a deal, but you talk about, you know, what's the saying, change is hard. Anyone ever heard that before? Okay, change our, well, this isn't too hard for me to understand because I wasn't there when it was different. But some 2,000 years ago, a priest in the Old Testament had some pretty different expectations than that of a New Testament priest. Okay, and so we need to understand that when this was written, it was causing all sorts of confusion. It was causing people to say, well, I don't understand it because I know what a priest is and I'm not one of them. And so they were still trying to serve God based off of old information. So we need to look back and we need to see kind of some of the context of where it was written. We know, if you go back in the Bible, that God would choose, in the Old Testament, he would choose his priests. Okay, and so out of a group this size, he would choose a handful of priests. And those priests had a lot of responsibility on them. I am so grateful that the New Testament says we're all priests and that there's not just all that responsibility on a few today, because it would be overwhelming back in the day. But the Lord would pick priests and he would choose them, and they were in charge of representing the people before God. So instead of the individuals going to God, the priests would go on behalf of the individuals. They would go for repentance of sins. They would go for sacrifices. They were the ones that got to enter into the presence of God on behalf of the people. Okay, so Jesus comes on the scene, and he didn't take away the responsibilities. How many of you know the responsibilities that existed in the priests back in the day are still around today? Okay, the responsibilities didn't diminish, but the way and the traditions of seeing those responsibilities get taken care of changed a whole lot. Okay, we don't have people anymore that approach God for us, do we? No. No, we're all responsible for our own relationship with Christ. So the responsibilities didn't change, but the people who would fulfill those responsibilities changed a whole lot. And so I want to look back this morning at what the priests, four areas that priests were called to carry and called to walk in. Because you and I, the Bible says that we are New Testament priests. And so I want to say this, number one, as priests, you are set apart. Okay, say this, I am set apart. That you as a priest, as a New Testament priest, you are set apart. So in the Old Testament, in Exodus 28, it talks about the priests being set apart. We need to understand that the priests back in the Old Testament, they were set apart for a role, and a lot of their duties were demonstrated by outside things that gave them significance. Okay, they served as a term. As a role. And a lot of their priestly duties depended on some of the things like dress, like tradition, like formula of how to go to God. And a lot of it was tied into their garments that they would wear. And in fact, they were not even allowed to approach God unless they were wearing the robe and the getup and the different things. They couldn't even perform their priestly duties unless they had everything clicking on all eight cylinders. All cylinders. All 10 cylinders. Okay, but in the New Testament, we need to understand that our righteousness doesn't come from the things that we wear. Our righteousness doesn't come from outside influences, but our righteousness is a result of the relationship that we have in Christ. Okay, in fact, if you look at Jesus, and Jesus couldn't do anything right in the eyes of the religious. Right? They were trying to make Jesus conform to their rules, conform to their ways. They didn't think Jesus could minister because he wasn't wearing what they thought he should minister. Wear to minister. He would wear his normal clothes, he wouldn't wear the robe. In fact, the religious couldn't even receive from Jesus because they couldn't look past what he was wearing. Okay, and again, in the New Testament, our righteousness comes out of the relationship of Christ, not any outside thing that would give us significance. Okay, we are set apart not because of what we do, but because of who we are. Okay, we don't wear today, I don't wear a special robe, or I don't walk around in the world with a sign that says, I'm a Christian. Okay, what sets me apart is the fruit that comes out of my life. What sets me apart is the things that happen on the inside that as a natural result will come outside of me. Those are the things that set me apart. Not by anything that I put on, not by anything that I wear, not by anything that says, oh, I'm a Christian, so this is why I do what I do. No, what sets me apart is the life of God that's inside of me that comes outside of me. Jesus was set apart because he was sent by a father to fulfill the father's call. I want you to say it again. Say, I am set apart.
I'm set apart.
I am set apart. You are set apart for his purposes. The priests were set apart. The second thing, as priests, we have the ability to represent the people in the presence of God. As a New Testament priest, you have the ability to represent people in the presence of God. Okay, if you look back again in Exodus, when the priests would go in before God, their garments and their breastplate had the tribes of Israel listed on them. I don't know how it was, if it was here, but they had all the tribes listed. right? The Levites, the Benjaminites, all 12 of them were listed. So they would go into the presence of God with all the tribes represented on their garments. And that was their depiction of interceding with God on behalf of the nation of Israel. Okay, so again, I don't today go and I don't have the clothing that, hey, we're, you know, Kelvin and Monica, our missionaries to here, and, you know, all the other different things, the ministries that we're involved in, backpack buddies. We don't have those things today, but we still, as New Testament priests, have the ability to see God move on others' behalf. We have that ability. In fact, we're called to call on the plans and purposes of God on other people's behalf. Okay, James 5, it says this. It says, the prayers of the righteous avail much. Listen, we might not wear on our sleeves the things we're praying for, but I hope we're exercising our privilege to see things move in heaven through prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to encourage us this morning, especially I really felt for parents, that there is things that can happen in your children's life that can change in a moment because of prayer. Yeah. That you can exercise the authority that you've been given in Christ to do some serious damage to the enemy's camp by getting on your knees and calling things out of their life. Listen, in marriage, you want your wife to change. Don't say amen. You're going to get in trouble. Please don't say amen. I should have said that earlier before I... Don't say amen. But if there's things in your marriage that you want to change, I want to encourage you that you find your place in your prayer closet where you are calling forth the man or the woman of God. You are calling forth their destiny, and you are speaking life into existence over them, because one thing done in a moment of prayer could take years and years to happen in the natural. But I want to encourage you this morning, would you exercise your right as a New Testament priest to see things and people change in the presence of God? You know, we talk a lot about wanting to be used by God and wanting to see God's kingdom advance. And I was just thinking this week, what if everything I was praying for, I pray every single day, what if everything that I was praying for started happening? Do you think lives would change? Right? When your coworker says, hey man, you know, my marriage is really tough, and you say, I pray for you. Well, what happens if his marriage changed as a result of the prayer? Do you think he would be won to the Lord? I think so. I think it's a good chance he will. Because I believe as we start calling down in our authority that we've been given through Christ, even in prayer, we're going to see impossible things happen. Okay, we have the ability to represent people in the presence of God through prayer. So I want to encourage you today, would you be one that stands in the gap in prayer over people's life?
Yeah.
Would you exercise your authority that you've been given? Number three, as a priest, we're called to bring sacrifice to God. The priests back in the day in the Old Testament, Leviticus 1 through 7, they would offer sacrifices to the Lord as a atonement for sin. And Jesus came. We don't do that anymore, thank God. We don't slaughter animals. If we hunt, that's a whole different story. But we don't bring sacrifice to the altar anymore. But Romans 12 tells us to not to bring a sacrifice, but it says, would you be a sacrifice? Would you be a sacrifice? Well, what does that mean? What does that mean to be a sacrifice? Would you be one that others can depend on? Would you, as you're going through things in your life, not just be so discouraged that you're going through them, but go through those things knowing that on the other side of your obedience could come someone's freedom? The things that you're going through don't have to be that you just go through them in vain, but you can go through them so that someone else may benefit from the sacrifice that you're going through. In Philippians 2, verse 17, this is the Passion Translation, but it says this. And it's Paul speaking. He says, I haven't labored among you for nothing. Meaning, I haven't suffered just to suffer. For your lives are the fruit of my ministry and will be my glorious boast at the unveiling of Christ. Yet I will rejoice, even if my life is poured out like an offering, a liquid offering to God over your sacrificial and surrendered lives of faith. Verse 18, and so no matter what happens to me, you should rejoice in ecstatic celebration with me. I want to say this morning that the sacrifices that you've given are not given in vain. Yeah. Can you just say that to yourself? Can you just believe that in your heart today? The things that you've sacrificed for your marriage, the things that you've sacrificed for those that don't know Jesus, anything done in the name of the kingdom is not done in vain. We need to understand that. Anything you do in the name of Jesus is powerful, is effective, and will produce good fruit. Believe that this morning. Anything done in the name of the Lord will produce a harvest. You know, I look back over my life and over different ones' lives, and I think of how many people have given up because they didn't see the promise right away. They thought, the sacrifice that I'm giving, it's not worth it. I'm just going to give up. And I want to encourage you this morning that the sacrifices that you're making are worth it. The sacrifices that you are making are worth it. It's not in vain. There will be freedom on the other side of your obedience. Number three, as priests, we are the channel to see others reconciled to God. Okay, we are the channel to see others reconciled to God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 through 20, you can turn there. And again, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, but it says this. From now on, we have a new perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely by their outward appearance. For that's how we once viewed the Anointed One, but we no longer see Him that way, with limited human insight. Now, verse 17, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he's become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Hallelujah. Behold, everything is fresh, everything is new, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself. And he's given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. In other words, it was through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. And he's entrusted, I love that word, he's entrusted to me the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are the ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them, directing them through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to Him. Listen, as priests, our life has to be marked with reconciliation. That we are a place where others can come to and start a relationship with God.
Yeah.
It's part of our calling. It's part of our inheritance that we are ones who can be the channel to see others reconciled to God. I wrote down, I want to be a door opener. I want to be one who's known for opening doors so that others can begin a relationship with Christ, because that's what we're called to do. That we want to be used by God, then let's be a spiritual door opener. That we would leave doors open for those to be reconciled with God. Not just, well, it's open for a moment. No, that we would be a place that's open for people to receive Christ. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is as an Old Testament priest and as a New Testament priest, and this probably is my favorite, right? That we have access to the presence of God. The priests, once a year, they were able to enter the Holy of Holies And it was a big production. But once a year, they would go into God's presence. And I'm so grateful that we can enter God's presence today, tomorrow, 2 days, when we've sinned, when we've failed, when we're walking victoriously, that you and I have access to God's presence unhindered. That's part of our inheritance. That's part of our relationship. That we don't have to just go once a year. In fact, the scripture in Hebrews 4, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Let us with confidence. I want to be one who's marked by a man that can get into God's presence. I want my kids, when I'm feeling stressed out, when I'm overwhelmed, when I don't know what to do, I don't want them seeing their dad like punching a pillow or like breaking stuff, right? Which I'm tempted to do. But I want my sons and those that are in my life to see when I am overwhelmed, when I don't know what to do, that I will approach God's throne with boldness. Because as I do that, they're going to learn to do that for their life. Because that's what we're called to do. And so I just want to encourage us this morning as we go. I think the theme of the morning, even with our worship, is Galadriel saying, and that if you're at the end of yourself this morning, I want to encourage you to find the presence of God. As you're talking about, I want to be used by God, I want to encourage you this morning to walk in your role as a priest. I want to encourage you this morning to find God's presence. I want to encourage you this morning. If you've got things and you're at the end of yourself in a situation, would you go to war in prayer on the behalf of others? Would you do that this morning? Because it's part of our role. It's part of our inheritance. I'm going to have our worship team come up. I want to respond this morning by just singing a song of praise to the Lord. So would you, worship team, you can come. But as I was just preparing, and you can stand up this morning as we close. I specifically just wanted to pray for two things. And number one is I think there's a lie that the enemy likes to tell us that says, again, it's for someone else, it's not for me. Right? It's someone else's responsibility. It's someone else's privilege. I'm not anything special, and I just feel like the Lord wants to speak confidence into our hearts today. And the Lord would, I believe the Lord would say, would you try me in this? Would you try me in, you know, pretty much saying, prove me wrong. Because as you do these things, as you walk in your inheritance, you're going to see the fruit. And I just felt that was a promise to us today. And so, I'm just going to pray, and then Galadriel, would you just lead us? But Father, I thank you this morning that you've called us royalty. Father, that this morning you've called us priests. Father, that this morning that you've said, you got it. I've chose you, I've anointed you, and I'm going to equip you. Walk in your role and your responsibility. Father, I pray for all of us this morning as we're trying to figure out what it looks like. Father, we just submit to you. Father, I pray for those that are still struggling with whether you could use them. And Father, I pray that you would speak to them today, that they would have a God encounter with you. Father, that they would rise up in their God-given anointing, that they would rise up and take the responsibility that you've called us to take. Father, I pray for every situation. Father, even parenting situations and marriage situations. Father, situations that need a miracle. Father, even today, God, we just, on behalf of those situations, Father, we just wage war in the heavenlies with our prayer life. Father, we speak to those mountains. God, you only know the situations that need to change. You only know the mountains that need to move. Father, would you do that this morning on our behalf? Father, we speak to the marriages. We speak to the financial situations. Father, we speak to the jobs that need to be filled. Father, we speak for those who are looking for a job. Father, would you move on our behalf today? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glad you're lead us this morning. Let's respond to him as we close today.
You give life. You are love. You bring life. Your breath.
So come on, this morning, let's go out of here, not the same as when we came in. Let's go out of here knowing who we're called to be and walking as ambassadors, as priests to those, to our neighbors, to our friends, to those that don't know Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Love you. Go enjoy the sunshine. Go be a priest in the sun. Do all that. But God bless you. You're released. Let's go in His name today.